Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 31 of Revelation chapter 9, and we're continuing to look at verse 17, which says, "And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone." Well, we're discussing brimstone the last time we got together, and I want to continue for a little bit longer looking at brimstone and especially two interesting things about how God uses it. But before we do that, let's just notice that the breastplates, which we saw last time, identify with Christ. He is our breastplate of righteousness or love and faith and of iron, as it says earlier in Revelation 9, or breastplate of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And notice that the breastplates are said to be breastplates of fire, jacinth, and brimstone. And that's three things. And the number three points to the purpose of God. It's repeated at the end of the verse. Concerning the horses, it says, "And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone." Again, three things. Now, if we move on to verse 18, notice, "By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths." So God is making a very strong emphasis here on the number three. He even says, "By these three was the third part of men killed." And that is letting us know this is God's purpose. Things have not caromed way out of God's control, where God's will is no longer being accomplished on the earth. It may appear that way. Maybe things just seem insane. How insane it is that gay marriage is now the norm, that if you do not accept marriage between men or marriage between women, well, then that's a moral issue with you. You have some sort of deep-seated problem. You are being immoral, and that is just an incredibly strange, not only for the Word of God and for what God says in His Bible, but strange for this world. The world has been here operating for over 13,000 years. And for all of that time, until just the last few decades, it has been an evil thing. It has been something that has been against all law, against all custom, all tradition, against all morals of all societies in the world. But now, well, now people look at you as though you're off. You're doing something wrong and strange because you believe marriage should be only between a man and a woman. And yet that is God's will. It is God's purpose, according to Romans 1. To give them up in the day of judgment. Now, this giving up and turning over to wickedness began during the Great Tribulation period, but it has just magnified and enlarged and increased during the time of judgment day in the world. Yet God is letting us know that, look, what you're seeing in the church was not people going contrary to my will. It was my will to loose Satan, to bring judgment on the churches and congregations. And that's why there was falling over backwards and speaking in tongues and holy laughter. And that's why they lost sight of truth and really they could not find the door. Spiritual blindness engulfed them and the darkness of judgment took them over. Likewise, when you're seeing these things in the world, it is because it is the time of wrath, a time of fire and brimstone, a time I am judging the inhabitants of the earth. And so if those in the churches lost sight of truth, lost sight of what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, why would you expect the people of the world that never really had any identification with that except what had been written upon their hearts? They didn't receive the word of God. They didn't hold to the word of God at all. So of course they're going to go far astray. And as the darkness overcomes the earth, a deep darkness as overtook Egypt that may be felt, well, you can be sure this is my purpose. So we see the number three in view in verses 17 and 18, and as God is really comforting his people, encouraging us. No, things are not out of control. They have not gone beyond my ability to maintain. Just remember, as the Lord Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and then turned over into the hands of the Romans, why did that happen? By God's determinate foreconsel. God determined, it was the will of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ suffer and die and demonstrate what he had done in making payment for sin from the foundation of the world. And so God, to reveal that, to show us that was the case, time and again in the gospel accounts, gave us the number three. Three crosses, three people upon the crosses, three times Jesus went to beseech the Lord that the cup might pass from him. And so on, the number three appears everywhere. And even then it could have seemed, oh my, the will of God has been overcome. Man has conquered. Satan has been victorious. Look, the Messiah, the one we had trusted, had been our deliverer, is on the cross. He has been put to death. He has died. Yes, God allowed this, permitted this, and it all happened according to his perfect will. And yet it gave the appearance, certainly it did, of the enemy prevailing, the enemy winning. Likewise, May 21, 2011, God allowed and permitted and worked out that it would happen exactly as it did, so that an appearance of failure, an appearance of defeat, an appearance that God's elect who had trusted his word, that he had confirmed and even said the Bible guarantees it. Yes, God allowed the appearance of their trust in his word to be as though they had misplaced their trust, that it had not happened or come to pass, as the Bible seemingly had locked it in. And yet this is all according to the plan and will of God. It is his purpose. And so these verses here comfort us and assure us that that's what is going on in the day of judgment, as the number three is being emphasized to indicate the complete or the purpose of God in these matters. Well, they had breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone. And one other thing before we go on to discuss brimstone, and that is jacinth. We understand fire and brimstone, as we've been discussing that, and those things are mentioned much in the Bible, and we're very familiar with that kind of language that indicates the wrath of God. But why jacksynth. Why do the 200 million horsemen have breastplates of jacksynth? Fire and brimstone, yes. But jacksynth, why that? Well, this word, the Greek word translated as jacksynth, is only found one other place in the Bible. Just one other place, and it's in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 21, and I'm going to read two verses, verses 19 and 20. And it says, there in the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophorus, the 11th a jacksynth, the 12th an amethyst. And here we find the word jacksynth. It is the 11th stone. It's called a precious stone. And the first foundation, it said, was jasper. Therefore, of these foundations of the wall of the city, jacksynth is one of them. And we know that the city in view in Revelation 21 is that heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that came down from heaven. And that new Jerusalem is a picture that God has given of his elect. It is a city built and compact together that it is comprised only of God's elect people. And so the jacksynth identifies with the city of God made of God's elect. There's certainly no liars or thieves or murderers or adulterers or idolaters that are a part of that city. There is no emissaries of Satan that are a part of that city. The jacksynth identifies with the elect. And so too, as we've been stating and restating going through Revelation 9, the locusts identify with God's elect. And the 200 million, which are just another picture, also are identifying with God's elect. They are all of God's elect, just like the New Jerusalem is comprised of all of God's elect. And so we're not surprised that they have breastplates of fire and of jacksynth and brimstone. And of course the breastplate is referring to Christ, and Christ is the one foundation, and the believers are in Christ. Therefore, God can speak of them as being foundations only as we are in him. And so we are one in him, and somehow that relates to these breastplates. Why God would pick this word. I mean, isn't it amazing how God has written the Bible, and it's when he chooses words like this, when he picks a word that's only found one other place that identifies with a spiritual city of elect, and he places it in a verse that relates to 200 million going forth in the day of judgment as Christ judges the world with the saints, with all the holy angels, then we can only stand amazed and wonder how God perfectly chooses each word in the Bible and places it perfectly, strategically, in the place that he would have it, to lead us and direct us, as he fully expects and demands of us that we compare scripture with scripture, to go to the other place and then to gain further insight and understanding concerning the word. And that helps us in the verse we're looking at. In case anyone's been struggling understanding the 200 million horsemen, to be a representation of all of God's elect, of all that he saved, well, God inserts the word Jacksons that likewise identifies with all of God's elect in Revelation 21 to assist us in coming to the proper conclusion of who's in view. Well, again, in Revelation 9:17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. Now again, brimstone, of course, is a word that we saw based upon Isaiah 30 that identifies with the word of God. And I want to read this verse again. This would be a verse that God gives, as he does with many words. This would be a defining verse, a verse given to help us to define a spiritual term. And in this case, it's brimstone. Why does brimstone fall from heaven? Well, remember God likens the rain from heaven in Isaiah 55 to his word. As the rain cometh down, so shall my word be. It says in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. And then God uses the word for rain to speak of fire and brimstone. And we'll see that as we look at a couple of verses later on. And why? Because fire and brimstone point to the word of God. To say it another way, when God sent forth rain as a blessing, rain as the dew of heaven, rain to bring water down upon this dry earth spiritually, and the water represented the gospel, and the rain came, the early and then the latter rain, and the latter rain produced a crop of fruit, just as the early rain did. And the fruit spiritually points to those that God saved through the hearing of his word. So the latter rain fell, the rain from heaven, during the Great Tribulation, simultaneous with the last about 17 years of the Great Tribulation. The latter rain fell beginning September 7th, 1994, through May 21, 2011, and then the Great Tribulation concluded, and the latter rain ceased to fall. It was falling simultaneous with the Great Tribulation. Once the Great Tribulation ended, so too did the latter rain. That's why immediately after the tribulation, the sun is dark and the moon does not give its light, because the rain ended. And another way of saying that is the light of the gospel is out. And so then begins Judgment Day, May 21, 2011, and these days after that tribulation. But did the rain conclude totally? Is God no longer sending forth rain? Well, remember in the flood account, on the 17th day of the second month of Noah's 600th year, God sent rain 40 days and 40 nights. But that was not beneficial rain, even though it did not harm those in the ark and they were lifted up by it. But those in the ark were already in the ark. The rain that came on the 17th day of the second month didn't cause them to get into the ark at that time. They were already in it. And that ark typified the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. So all to be saved were saved. In other words, eight souls, and they were in the safety of the ark. And then the rain came and destroyed all of the wicked, all unsaved people of the entire earth that were outside of the ark. 40 days and 40 nights. No more beneficial nature to the rain. The rain was destroying. The rain was drowning the unsaved people of the world until death. And so God likens the rain there to his judgment. But he also uses the same word rain, or a typical word for rain, to speak of raining down fire and brimstone from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah and in other places. And why does he do that? Well, let me read Isaiah 30, verse 33. For Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He has made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of Jehovah, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. So God's breath is like a stream of brimstone. And the breath of Jehovah can only be a reference to the Word of God. And remember, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if you were to look up the Greek word that is translated as inspiration, you'll find it's a compound word, two words put together that literally would be translated as God breathe. All Scripture is God breathe. And so that makes this statement in Isaiah 30:33 highly significant and important, as God is saying the breath of Jehovah. Well, that's the Bible. The Bible is God breathe. The breath of Jehovah, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. So God's word, the Bible, is like a stream of brimstone. No wonder it was said to rain down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, because it came from God. It came from heaven. It came from above, just as the word of God. It cometh down from heaven as the rain, according to Isaiah 55. And yet that was for the day of salvation. For the day of judgment, the word, the same word, same Bible, nothing's changed, nothing added, nothing subtracted. The same word that once was able to open rivers of water in desert places, that once streams of water, streams of mercy went forth, that the latter rain covered the earth with abundant water in order that a great multitude be saved. Well, as soon as that time ended, according to God's own calendar that he placed in the Bible, and as soon as judgment day came and he stopped sending forth rain, gospel water to save, and immediately the water was transformed and changed into fire and brimstone now falling from heaven, into that which is not meant for the good of unsaved man, but is meant for the destruction of the sinner, for the ruination of the rebel, for the complete end of mankind's hope. And so God has been doing that since May 21, 2011. He has been raining fire and brimstone from heaven. Well, there were two things I wanted to look at. One was that fire and brimstone are said to rain down, and I would encourage you to look at the verses that it's not just stated once, but several times where God uses the word rain in connection with fire and brimstone. The second thing is, as we find in Revelation 9:17, and I'll quickly read that again, it says, "Thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone." And then it's repeated again in verse 18. Fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, who identifies with fire and brimstone in the Bible? Does Satan identify with fire and brimstone? Does he identify with these three things, fire, smoke, and brimstone, or fire, jacinth, and brimstone? No, absolutely not. In no way does Satan identify with fire, smoke, and brimstone. He would like to. Yes, he wants to be like God, and God gave him the little trinket of a sign of a working wonder during the time when the beast was loosed. He allowed him to give the appearance of calling down fire from heaven, but that was just in the form, or it worked itself out to be individuals falling over backwards. And we won't get into that, but that's all the Bible permitted Satan, was to somehow, probably supernaturally, to have men fall over backwards, and they call it being slain in the spirit, and somehow see that as some sign coming down from above. But as far as the wrath of God and judgment, and by the way, with calling down fire from heaven, it never mentions fire and brimstone. When we read of brimstone in the Bible, we read of God's doing, never Satan. And let me read some of these verses in Genesis 19. In Genesis 19, verse 24, then Jehovah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Jehovah out of heaven. Jehovah rained this upon them, not Satan. In Psalm 11, verse 6, it says, upon the wicked, you would have to read verse 5 to see it's referring to Jehovah, upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. In Ezekiel chapter 38, it says in verse 21, and I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, and this is referring to Gog and Magog, saith the Lord Jehovah, every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. Who sends the fire and brimstone? God does. It's never Satan. In Luke 17, it says in verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And again, of course, that would relate to Genesis 19, where the Lord did it. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels or messengers and in the presence of the Lamb. Now we could read a few more verses in Revelation that speak of fire and brimstone and those that are cast into it. And God is doing the casting, and we see that Satan and his emissaries, Satan and the wicked, Satan and the unsaved, are never the bearers, they're never the ones bringing the fire and brimstone, but they are the target, they are the object of the fire and brimstone.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.